So hello all and welcome. I am the Realist Philosopher. And in this video, I would like to talk about a fellow by the name of Andrew Wilson. Now, he's become very popular in the past 6 months. He considers himself a great debater, not just a great debater, but a blood sport debater. So somebody who gets down and dirty and brutal in the debate arena. Not sure he's really debated all that many people that have too much clout beside Destiny, which, Destiny is a moron, and I don't know why people pay attention to this guy. He talks faster than Ben Shapiro, so he must be smart. Personally, I think his debate skills are good. I don't know that they're great. There's some things in this debate. I watched about half of it. That were missed, but interesting fellow. It's an interesting conversation. I think I have some insights that'll be useful. So, and that he obviously didn't touch on, otherwise I wouldn't be making this video just to say things he said. So in this video, he debates with somebody that's calling themselves a Christian communist. I don't know that Christians have a real problem with private property. Apparently, I guess this guy, the only thing he can come up with in terms of Christianity and communism sort of overlapping when it comes to a dislike of private property is talking about, you know, how rich men bad, not going to get into heaven and all that, but that seems like an extreme. I don't know how Christians in the Bible having a problem with rich people means that you want a society, a culture where nobody owns anything. So you're going from one extreme to another. But anyway, let's jump in and see what the Christian commie thinks. Shall we?
Many, many lives. Let's see what she brings us today.
That you believe that communism has never been practiced correctly, right?
This is always interesting to me. Communists, they're always talking about, like, you know, it's just not been done right. He's been trying 100 countries, but it failed because it wasn't done right, you see. So the implication when you say that is that I know how it would be done right, because for me to say that it wasn't done right in those countries means I know how it could be done right. Of course, every single formulation that has been tried ignores human nature, biologically determined behavior. And that people, generally speaking, act in their own self-interest, even in communist countries. But the fact that it's failed so many times, you know, just wasn't done right. But me, a dishwasher, a barista, you know, a failure in life, I know the correct formulae. Okay.
I said I wouldn't say that.
Okay. Oh, look at this guy. What a loser. Get a haircut, pal. Like the mullet.
Okay, perfect. So if you wouldn't say that, then where has it been practiced correctly? That's not
I
a false dichotomy.
I also wouldn't say that there's been a time that communism has been practiced perfectly correctly. Okay? I know that you're trying to trap me into this. Support that communist regime or support
Hold on,
that communist
pause.
Regime
don't
so that
my,
I can go and tell you
motives.
About the big black book of
I'm
communism and how 120. This is my live, Greg. I'm speaking.
I know, and you can
how 120
run away
million people
like.
Died. Oh, you're going to tell me how 120 million
can,
people died.
You can run
of
away
whenever Russia
you'd like.
And the PRC and the DPRK, huh? You're going to tell me about all the hundreds of millions of deaths under communism, right?
Unless you would like me to presume things about.
Well, of course, yes. The, 100. Actually, it's much more than that. It's more like 200 million. But let's go with your estimate. 100 million people died. 120 million died under communism. Yeah, that's right. what's his point? That it doesn't work? That it kills a lot of people? He's indicting his own worldview very effectively. Congratulations.
About you, I'm not going to presume things about – I would like you to not presume things about what I believe.
Greg.
Calm down. Throw all that shit out the window. Okay.
I like Greg. He's Greg, man, telling me to calm down. Dude, Greg, catch me in the fucking streets. Catch me in the streets, Greg.
How many out there think that this goofball-looking 150-pound a skinny geek boy who's trying to make himself more masculine looking with that goatee. How many of you think this guy knows how to actually fight? Get me in the streets! The people that always say that are the most pathetic and weak and wimpy people who would run away if you challenged him to a fight face to face. Give me a break. Catch me outside.
Do not tell me to calm down. Do not tell me to calm down on my stream. Hello. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm so great. Thank you.
Oh, good. I wanted to come up and let you know I have never
catch
met
me outside. How about that? What the fuck, dude?
And so I'm excited.
You're a leftist Christian as well.
Yes. Like
so
Democrat.
You've probably been having a lot.
What does that mean, leftist Christian? I believe in no private property, but that doesn't in any way conflict with Christianity, even though I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where it said you can't own stuff or that that's bad or evil.
Straight socialist. Like,
can't they say don't steal? In one of the Ten Commandments, don't steal? But if it's, but if there's no private property, how can you be stealing, right? Like people can't – I don't understand this. Doesn't that directly conflict with his worldview? So – for the idea, for the concept, for a law, for any kind of a commandment against stealing to exist, don't you have to have private property and the ability to own stuff that can be stolen in the first place? Otherwise, you can't steal stuff because nobody owns anything. How can you be a leftist Christian? What?
Great socialist.
You're just a socialist. You're not a Marxist-Leninist?
No.
Uh huh.
General socialism. Like
so. Then we. So then we do have some like some disagreements and some things that we could talk about. But I'm not going to shout at you. I can calm down now.
Oh, Greg is a problem. Greg comes to my lives all the time. Greg doesn't last very long.
Really annoying. Greg.
Yeah, Greg doesn't last very long because he probably has cohesive arguments. It shows your contradictions and it makes you look like a fool. So you boot him. Yeah, he doesn't last long, I bet.
He's a stinky lib. He's like, well, okay, so
They all sound the same. They all sound the same. It's weird.
Literally, no, yeah, they're all yappers.
Greg is
that's projection. These people all sound the same.
It's fucking base, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I just wanted to say, I have
catch me outside. How about that? I can't wait
on this app. That's like I'm leftist and Christian.
Wait, should I just start it with
to say hi real quick?
Okay, calm down.
Should
I just start with calm down?
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you so much for stopping by. Very encouraging words. Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, just right.
Have a good night.
He's very friendly when you agree with him.
Okay, Andrew, you have to agree not to be a petulant little baby.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah. Good evening to you tonight. Thank you for having me on your live stream. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on here. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of dive in, if you don't mind first, with just a small amount of background from you. When you say leftist, does this mean Enlightenment principle leftist, or does this mean something distinctly different from that?
Yeah, I have no idea what you would mean by an Enlightenment.
Well, yeah, so I can kind of explain. So Enlightenment principles being John Locke-style principles led to the ratification of the Constitution, that type of ideology.
That has nothing to do with leftism. That's just like basically the origin of liberalism.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I don't think that you're wrong there. But you know that inside of these spaces, people will use the term leftist.
By the way, I'm no fan of liberalism either. Where we are now, communism, socialism, that is just the eventuality of the liberal mindset and worldview.
And liberal synonymously often. And so I'm just trying to kind of untangle it, make sure I know where you're coming from.
No, I'm not a liberal. I'm a leftist, and I guess that there's not one definition of leftism. And I use the term pretty broadly. I'm not a liberal. I'm a Marxist-Leninist. We'll just start there. And I would say that that's an ideology that's on the left. If you are if you are against private property,
did that work? Did Marxist-Leninist Marx was the guy that wrote the Communist Manifesto. He was a loser. He was back and forth between the pawn shop, virtually every week. He would pawn his pants. He would pawn his jacket. The dude was horrible with money. He had a handful of lefty friends that thought he was a genius, but just, you know, he's not so responsible, but he's a genius, so we're going to support him because he's the guy. He's building the framework. He's building the ideology. He's writing the manual for the, you know, worker revolution. He's just so valuable. So we need to support him. And he, you know, couldn't make an honest buck. Barely made any money in his whole life. Never worked a real job. He was a total complete loser. Probably like this guy. Hence why he follows Marxism and Leninism. Did that work out so well? Don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Then you're on the left.
Okay, so Marxist-Leninism, perfect. So I did want to get into an idea that I wanted to run by you. I'm on the other end of the spectrum, but I do think we can have a respectful conversation here.
You can. I don't know if this guy can.
So when you're talking about Marxist-Leninism, the ultimate goal is for you to have a stateless society, correct?
Which doesn't make any sense, because one of the underlying principles or tenets of socialism is equality of outcome, everybody's treated the same, everybody's not only treated the same under the law, but in every other aspect as well, hence no private property. You can't accrue more wealth than me. We're all equally broke and disenfranchised because you can only equalize down to the lowest common denominator, not the highest. So interesting ideology, interesting world view. Yeah.
One day, Star Trek.
Yeah, sure, a stateless.
Right, but the problem is, you see, that everybody's different. Some people have greater capabilities, some people have lesser capabilities. From each according to their abilities, to each according to their need. They tried this in the Marxist-Leninist regime when they had their revolution over through the Tsar, and you know what happened? The most productive people were relied upon and demanded of that they produce more than the less productive people, who just figured out pretty early on that they could sit back, do nothing, or just drag their feet, slow walk, whatever they were doing essentially, be half as productive as the people who had some integrity and, you know, wouldn't drag their feet and had a work ethic and still get paid the same amount. And there was a lot of turmoil, a lot of uproar, a lot of complaining. So they got rid of to each according to their need. They just went with the from each according to their ability. So that didn't work out very well at all. But you need a centralized authority to impose this kind of faux equality, because by human nature, we're not all the same, because all equality means is equal. And so if we're not all the same, how do you make everybody the same? Right, you have to make them the same, because naturally, they're not. So how do you have a stateless society where everybody is the same, same outcome, same station in life, same everything, if you don't have some kind of centralized authority to impose this faux equality? You can't.
Society. Can I ask you, though, how would you exercise enforcement for people who are problematic in that society without appealing to some kind of state apparatus or authority apparatus?
Oh, well, you just establish a state first. So,
you establish a state first, but how do you... So you do need a state, but eventually you won't need a state because of my reasons.
Like, the purpose of the state... you know, after the revolution, as it were, is...
It's just to keep people on the right track. And once everybody has been indoctrinated into the correct way of groupthink, even though everybody's an individual, so this groupthink idea is complete nonsense. That's the actual social construction, and it goes against human nature, so it can't last, because you can't unteach human nature. But once everybody gets the right mindset, then we won't need the state no more. Just like if we teach everybody murder's wrong, well, eventually we won't need laws, because everybody's taught murder's wrong. Nobody would murder, right? What a moron!
To establish socialism, begin the transition
sure.
to communism.
Sure.
So the state then becomes a vehicle of the authority of the working class.
pure Marxism. So the state is a vehicle of the working class. Right. And they're going to serve the working class for exactly as long as... When? For how long? I mean, do they need the working class once they're in power? Well, only until they've accrued enough power and the state has all the power. And of course, they're going to make sure that the working class has no guns and that the big giant military that is run by the state has all the guns. So how are you going to get rid of the state? Even if you were to reach this utopian point where everybody had this same groupthink mindset and never murdered because you told them murder was wrong and never owned property because you told them owning property was wrong, and you convinced them of this and there was no biologically determined drive to do any of these things, to feel jealousy or whatever, even though that's one of the primary drivers of socialism, communist groupthink, think in general is envy and jealousy. How are you actually going to get rid of that state once it's gotten everybody into this groupthink mentality that governs all their actions? Well, governs how? How are you going to govern their action? Govern their actions now that the state's gone? And how would you get rid of that state in the first place since it has all the power and the people that are now in power in that state apparatus don't want to give it up? And they don't have to because they have all the guns.
I understand that. But I mean, if you were to achieve the ultimate goal of a stateless society, meaning there is now no state, whatever that looks like, there's still going to be inside of the stateless society people who would be problematic to other people, who will ignore whatever, however you define kind of.
Right. How do you get rid of the people? Well, they wouldn't exist. There would never be anybody that would go against the groupthink.
Yeah.
Just like nobody rapes because, you know, I mean, it's not like we haven't been teaching that rape is wrong for thousands of years. No. We've been doing that and we still got rapists.
Your moral codes. How would you deal with those people absent an authority for enforcement?
Put them in the brig.
Yeah, but that would be enforcement and authority that you would be appealing to.
If there's a need for enforcement and authority, then the state hasn't withered away yet.
So what he's saying basically is, well, then the state's going to naturally wither away. Why? Because in my hypothetical, that's what happens. Because in my imagination, I imagine an ideal scenario where the state only exists because people need it to exist. And when the people don't need it to exist anymore, it won't exist anymore. Even though, I mean, you need some kind of governing apparatus, regardless of what stage of human development evolution. He's imagining some point in the future where there won't be governments. There's going to have to be some kind of bureaucracy, my friend. There has to be. Even if it's just to handle the courts. Even if you privatized it, there would be some kind of way to solve disputes between people, and you would need some kind of law enforcement force and some kind of military. We have world peace now. Well, what about extraterrestrial threats, maybe? I mean, this guy, what he's imagining, I don't know what he's imagining, but it's all up here. It's imagination only. It's called science fiction fantasy. Well, that's what all communists are. They're fantasists.
So do you agree that you would never be in a position where you wouldn't need to have enforcement for problematic people?
I think eventually the state will wither away, but that'll take...
Why do you think that? What do you mean the state would just wither away? This guy's seen too many K-Pax movies. That movie? Pretty good movie, actually. Where some alien zaps himself to Earth via beam of light and inhabits the body of some mentally ill dude whose family was massacred. And he's talking about K-Paxians and how they have no governments and they don't really have a need for laws and everybody exists within the natural order. And of course, that took millions of years to reach that point. If human beings ever would, and maybe they would, I don't know. Evolution is a continuing process, don't you know? But that would, even if that were possible, that would be millions of years, right? Millions. Not anytime soon, and certainly not anything you can socially engineer in the short term.
Take a long time.
Yeah, but in order to do that, wouldn't all people then have to be moral people?
No, no.
Well, then material.
Yeah, they would. What are you talking about? Wait. No, they wouldn't have to be moral. So you would have people running around that I don't have a problem with R and they kill graping. I'm not supposed to use these words, right? Because, you know, YouTube will shadow ban you. Too late. I'm already shadow banned into oblivion anyway. But you'd have people running around that believe in R and M and SA and all that that aren't moral. Well, if there's no laws and there's no government, without the government, I mean, what laws would you have? Local, municipal level? Well, that would still require government, just on a smaller scale. But if you had no laws, no government, no enforcement, then wouldn't it be just like wolves among sheep? What? This guy, he hadn't thought this through very well.
Conditions will change sufficiently that their behaviors will change as well.
This is all hypothetical with this guy. This is all hypothetical.
Into moral people. So they're not going to violate any moral codes.
No. We don't have to moralize. It doesn't have to be about good or bad.
Well, how do we have any kind of metric for what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior then if we're not classifying things in terms of good or bad? Oh, this guy!
It's just simply how people are. The majority.
Yeah, good or bad. What are you talking about? Wait. At the same hand, he says you don't need to in any way look at things from a moral perspective, through a moral good or bad lens. Then he says that's just how people are. And how are they? Good or bad? Good. Well, that's just how people are. People will just be what? Without realizing it, he just made a judgment about how people should be or will be based on what? A lens of good or bad, right or wrong, positive or negative. This is just semantical games this guy is playing.
Majority of people in Star Trek, what do they do?
Well, there's
like,
lots.
I understand that Star Trek is fiction, but it's a metaphor.
Well, there.
Please don't tell me this whole guy's worldview revolves around Gene Roddenberry's crappy sci-fi show. At least the original. Star Trek The Next Generation was decent. I like DS9 more. Voyager, meh. Of course, everything that came after that's total garbage. But please don't tell me his whole worldview revolves around Star Trek.
I mean, there's tons and tons of people in Star Trek who do really bad things, and then they appeal to the Federation, which is an authoritative state.
Yep. They have a state.
Yeah.
But, like, by Next Generation, it's literally, like, basically stateless.
No.
What is he talking about? I mean, so I know a bit about Star Trek, so let me get into this. You're going to see nerd geeks here, I guess. So the Federation is like a galactic federation of numerous planets that have world peace or one world government. So I can see where that appeals to him being a global communist, which all Leninist Marxists are. They want a one-world government, even though this guy says he wants a stateless society, and he believes that a society that requires absolute centralized authority is somehow going to lead to a state of affairs where there's zero government. It's interesting. And he thinks that Next Generation was stateless. What are you, an idiot? I mean, the Earth had one world government, but it had a government. And they had laws and all that. And then they belonged to a federation that had its own laws of governance in regards to how it dealt with other planets, other species, and even laws that applied to people on Earth dealing with other humans. So I don't know what he's talking about, stateless. If anything, it's an even bigger government, bigger bureaucracy. You got a government within a government. You got this big empirical a governance apparatus that is the Federation. You've got a world government. What is he talking about? Stateless. What is he talking about?
No, it's like, not. It's not stateless. There's.
Is this like reverse Samson? The longer your hair is, but in terms of intelligence, the longer your hair, the dumber you are. Rabbi Samson, like, you know, long hair, he thought that was the source of his strength, and then he cut his hair. Oh, and lost his strength, but it wasn't his hair that was his strength. It was, you know, God that gave him his strength. And once he realized that, he got his strength back, and God took it away because of his vanity, thinking it was hair and not God giving him strength. But anyway, regardless, this guy clearly is a dummy. Maybe if he cuts his hair, he'll be smarter. I don't know.
A massive federation. It's more of an empire, actually.
It's not an empire at all, dude.
Yeah, it is. What are you talking about? No, an empire at all. Because I say so.
There's absolutely no way you're saying that the Federation of Planets is an empire.
Yeah.
Federation of Planets.
It kind of operates as one, so it has a common.
How so?
Well, I'll explain. So it has a common law. Everybody's under the common law. I'll give you an example of one such common law. If you come,
you can tell this guy's never thought about this before. The only thing he's thought about is how wonderful it would be to live in the Star Trek Federation because everything's free, from housing to food, replicators, and you know, if you don't want to work, you don't have to work, and you can be a special artiste and spend all day painting if you want. Yeah, that's the only thing he's focused on, the stuff that allowed him to be the lazy, shiftless bum that he is now, but without consequence, that would actually be encouraged. That's what he's thought about, not the more finite details that Andrew is pointing out and that I'm pointing out right now.
Cross an alien species who is primitive, you're not allowed to interject yourself into their state of affairs and introduce
new... Well, that's just called the Prime Directive.
Yeah, but that would be a common law.
Isn't that a law? But you're not allowed to do that. And if you do that, there's consequences. Isn't that called a law?
No, it's
you can be punished for violating it.
It's more semantical nonsense. Yeah, it's a law, pal!
Well, okay, but that's only within Starfleet.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about, right? Wait, no, it's not! No, it's within... Pal, yeah, it's any member planet. Like, any human on Earth couldn't, like, privately take their private shuttlecraft or whatever ship they own and fly it to some alien planet and then introduce themselves to the primate level population. That would be breaching the Prime Directive. That would be illegal. It's not just within Starfleet. This guy has an amazingly surface, facile, very shallow understanding of how the Star Trek universe works. Because, again, he's only focusing on the good stuff, right? That benefits him. The freebies, essentially. And being able to be a shiftless bum.
Yeah, but Starfleet, as part of the
Starfleet
Federation...
doesn't have authority over common citizens that just live in San Francisco.
Yes, it does.
No. Starfleet is part of the Federation. They're part.
So this idiot doesn't seem to understand Starfleet is like the military / exploratory wing of the Federation. That Starfleet is not the Federation. It's an extension of, it's an arm of it. The laws apply to Starfleet personnel just as they apply to Starfleet citizens. You mullet haired Momo, you!
Part of this kind of imperial apparatus, right?
It's not an imperial apparatus.
Well, then why does it have a common...
He's just in denial. He doesn't understand. The citizen has to follow the Federation follows the Starfleet follows the laws of the Federation, which citizens also have to follow. What is this guy talking about? If you won't... it's against the law for members of the U.S. military to murder. When they're out there in the field, you know, in their role as a soldier. Yeah, but that's just in the military. No, you idiot. It's illegal also in the U.S. for citizens. The same laws that apply to citizens apply to military personnel as well, you moron. What is this guy talking about? Oh, yeah, there are some specific laws that are just applicable to the military personnel, right? Okay, so does it mean that there aren't plenty of laws that apply to both, right? Like murder and a grape essay? I mean, what's this guy talking about? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Law in which all people must adhere.
It's literally not that. Like, it seems not to be that. Like, it's been a while since I've seen all the Star Treks, but, like, it seems like it's basically stateless, and the common person in the Star Trek universe just lives in a stateless society on Earth.
Well, they live in a cashless society, that's true, and they've gotten rid of something.
Yeah, by the way, so this guy seems to mistake ownership, the ease, like, you can create whatever you want, so if you can, you know, make property whenever you want, and just, you know, gin up whatever you want, and push a button, and I got a violin, and I push a button, the violin disappears. There's no such thing as private property. Okay. Pretty sure there's such a thing as private property in Star Trek, even on Earth, pal. Oh, my God. You think people don't own spaceships? You think people on Earth don't have private spaceships? You think they don't have valuable antiques that are not replicated, that they own?
It's like,
it always fascinates me. It seems more like with this guy, it's just all about getting everybody down to the lowest common denominator, which is him, a shiftless, ambitionless bum who can't compete with anybody else, right? And then that justifies him and his worldview to be able to essentially have everything he needs to survive, because it's justified in his worldview, in his ideology, in this wonderful communist utopian regime where he thinks there'll be no government, even though the government is required to enforce the equality that allows him to have stuff that he doesn't have now because he's a lazy, shiftless bum. And he looks at the Star Trek universe and he's like, well, that's ideal. Because I can be a lazy, shiftless bum there, too, and I can have whatever I want, all the food I want, to push a button, I'll have a Cadillac, and just anything I want and need. So, you know, yeah, now I don't care about what other people have because I have all I need, right? Yeah. It's just all about envy and jealousy, other people having what he doesn't. That's all. That's really all it is when you get right down to it.
Like, for instance, food, because they have replicators and things like this, have gotten rid of a lot of that. But certainly
that,
there's still tons of buying.
All that it comes down to is just that the state hasn't withered away all the way in Star Trek. But
didn't he just say it was a stateless society? Now he's admitting there is some state. No, there's tons of state, man. There's more state than there is now, in fact, in many ways. What are you talking about?
Agree to which it's withered away.
Where does he get this idea? By the way, where is this wither away? Where's the evidence for this? Everything with these pinko commie socialist scumbags is theoretical. It's just theoretical. It's not even that. It's more like hypothetical. It's more like wishful thinking. Where are the real world countries where this has happened, where the state's withered away? Where's the evidence for this? It doesn't even logically compute that the state would wither away. Government just gets bigger. We have evidence for that. That the more power government has, the bigger and more solidified it gets, and the more difficult it becomes to get rid of it. In his scenario, the government has absolute power. It has to have absolute power to equalize along all metrics. That government would be even way more powerful than the government we have in the U.S. We don't know how to get rid of that. How are you going to get rid of this government that has absolute power, you pinhead? We have no evidence for this world you say you want to exist actually being able to exist at all in objective reality. But somehow you know that that will happen based on nothing. And all the empirical evidence actually points to the exact opposite outcome.
I would be happy with.
You, okay, gotcha. But that would not actually be the...
Yeah, I'd be happy with, right, a little bit of state, a lot of state in the case of Star Trek, just so long as I don't have to work. And I can be a lazy, shiftless, ambitionless bum like I am now. Except it won't be seen as a negative. Gotcha!
The ultimate of a stateless society, right?
Yeah, dude, why does that matter?
Well, because...
Why does it matter if... Wait. He's just been arguing that we need a stateless society, and that's going to be the eventual outcome, and now he's saying, why would it matter? What does it matter if it's stateless, not stateless? I got all I need! So, really, your worldview isn't really about utopian, or it's about you. It's about self. It's about serving yourself. It's not about what you think could make a better world for anybody else. It's just about you and your own wants and needs and desires and your needs, your jealousy, your envy, your laziness.
That is what your prime directive is a stateless society.
Yeah, but what? But like, it's like saying, okay.
It's really not. That's just what he says because it's part of the ideological mumbo jumbo, okay, that justifies his very jealous, very selfish, misguided ambitions for an ambitionless world where he can be the useless eater that he already is now.
Okay, I want to be the best basketball player of all time. I need to hit 100 out of 100 hoops today, and you hit 99. You don't just, like, go commit seppuku because you've dishonored your family and for generations. Like, you just start over and try to do better the next day. Like,
well, in a society where everybody's equal and, you know, which would mean people are not rewarded beyond how much reward anybody else gets based on any kind of merit, why would anybody work to be the best at anything? Because humans are incentive-based beings, right? This guy really hasn't thought this stuff through.
The best we could possibly do is good enough.
There won't be a best. Or the best is going to be extremely low, especially when you're not getting rewarded for best. Right? Yeah.
And it would be way better than continuing to go under the current course of things, because it seems like our species is going to be completely extinct within like the next 3 decades.
Yeah, because we don't have people reproducing, at least in Western countries, on a level that allows their population to stay, you know, where it is now. We don't even reproduce at a level to maintain our current populations. We're below replacement rates, right?
Yeah, that's true, but that's because of the food replicators, right? So, let me give you an example of this. You're likely right that the species is going to, over the next, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 years, begin to go through that extinction process, but it's because of our successes. So if you look at westernized, industrialized nations, they just don't have kids, right? They have all the kind of prophylactics, birth control necessary to not have children, and live very materially rich lives. The incentives to do that, to have like farm hands and stuff like that, is basically gone. So essentially the population is slated to reduce drastically. We're far under the threshold to even replicate ourselves.
I would say that has much more to do with propaganda from the media, from academia, than anything else. People are taught the wrong lessons. They're taught to embrace materialism, to embrace money, to embrace things, to embrace pleasures of the moment, and that somehow is going to give you happiness and meaning, and that the stability of all of these things and all this wealth is going to somehow make you happy. They're taught all the wrong lessons, and then they live their lives in the wrong way by this extreme radical individualistic approach to life, and then they wonder why they end up miserable and without purpose and without meaning in their lives. And that's why I don't think it's necessarily the material things so much as it is trying to replace the things that give meaning in life with things that don't, i.e. materials.
In almost every westernized nation, industrialized nation.
So this is where Andrew is making a mistake. He is essentially blaming a symptom as a root cause. So Andrew's a little off here, but hey, nobody's perfect.
So it seems like our successes are actually punishing to us in some ways, right?
Well, I think that only is because of capitalism.
But in non-capitalist nations, that's
person come up here. You have a closing statement?
Yeah, and
so he's a loser. He's a failure, and it's capitalism's fault, right? That's capitalism. It's not my inability to be successful that's the problem. It's capitalism that's the problem. Right. He sounds just like Marx, who was also a loser, but thought he was a genius and was really a moron, just like this guy. Shocker, he empathizes with Marx.
Non-capitalist nations, this is the same exact thing. So
every country on the planet except four are capitalist.
I wonder if he's going to name China. I wonder if he understands or knows And of course, being the low IQ, uninformed individual that he is, who doesn't even understand his own ideology, which seems to be based on Star Trek, which he also doesn't understand, doesn't seem to know that the People's Republic of China also has a big, big population problem. And that they're also seeing massive declines, that they are not reproducing at replacement rates, in fact, far below. So he better not bring them up as an example of one of the countries where you're not having population decline, which is the problem they're discussing now. And he says only four are not experiencing this issue. Better not be China, but China better not be one of them, pal.
And in, which four are non-capitalist countries?
DPRK, Cuba, PRC, and Vietnam.
People's Republic of China? He's an idiot! You're an idiot! Pal, China, because of their want, their need for centralized control, they encouraged, nay, forced women to go into the workforce. The only thing they didn't do, which was smart, but still going to be an eventuality, and it is right now, is they put women into that workforce. They tell them to be boss babes and you go girls, so they would double their tax base, right? Because they're a communist country. They need those tax dollars, yo, to fund their very corrupt big regime, which he seems to think is eventually just going to organically go extinct as the Chinese become more evolved. Meanwhile, it's one of the most oppressive regimes in the world. But they have the same population problem there. They have the same problem. You pinhead, you. Yeah, let's just have one child, and let's make all the women go to work so we can double our tax base. But of course, what eventually happened? Women got out there. They got into the workforce. They got all them dollar bills. You know, they were told to buy, consume. You know, commercialism, things are what bring happiness, and seek out meaning in your life by working and becoming as independent as humanly possible. And again, it's the messaging. It's the message. It's the incorrect education of each subsequent generation as to what brings happiness and meaning and fulfillment. That is the problem, not the technology. Also, the problem is the big giant government that he wants to create to eventually bring about the communist utopia, because that very government created the actual problem to a certain extent that he is saying would be solved by that big giant centralized government. This guy is a moron. Dunning-Kruger effect at work here, people.
And those countries work within the framework of neoliberal capitalism of the modern day.
So the entire world is a bunch of capitalists who can't.
Oh, even those four countries, they work within the new capitalist framework. Even though I just said that there's four countries that don't work that way. Wow. This guy's an idiot. Yeah. Trying to cover all his bases, right?
Replicate because of capitalism.
Capitalism, it has contradictions inherently baked into the system that destroy it.
You're going to tell us what those contradictions are so I can tear you to pieces? Mullet boy?
Across time. So, like, it naturally tends to destroy the two things it needs most, people and human nature.
Actually, that's your system. What are you talking about? Human nature? How? He's just blathering words, right? This sounds intelligent. I'm going to throw out human nature. What are you talking about? Capitalism destroys human nature? Doesn't it play into it? Because humans are naturally incentivized. You know, they're incentive-based beings. What is he talking about? What are you talking about?
People and the natural world. Okay, Andrew, thank you so much. Been a great...
Well, I got to cut you off now. I want to end this conversation because I don't like where this is going, and I really have no defense, and I know I'm now in uncharted waters and don't know what the hell I'm talking about, even though everything you've said is complete, total nonsense. But at least it's nonsense that it's rhetoric that you've memorized and you understand the inner workings of its nonsensical nature. But now I'm getting in uncharted waters where I don't even know and understand the nonsense I'm spouting.
Discussion. I'll have you on again another day.
Okay.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Yeah. So, Andrew, I don't think Andrew did a great job. I did a much better job tearing this guy down. Andrew doesn't impress me all that much. He would never, of course, debate somebody like myself. That's obvious. It's always lower hanging fruit with him, as with almost all debaters online who claim to be Bridgeport debaters or otherwise. So I tore that guy apart about five times as effectively as Andrew did. Andrew had some good points, though. I had much better and more thorough points. But regardless, let me know what you think. Did Andrew do at least a decent job of tearing this up, Momo, a new a-hole? Or did this Momo do it to himself and he was such low-hanging fruit to be picked that it was rather easy? And did I do a pretty good job ripping this guy a new one? Let me know what you think of the comment section. Please like and subscribe to my YouTube channel if you have not already. Give me a thumbs up. Hit that notification bell if you like what you've seen so you get notified of new content. And, of course, please consider making a donation to my GoFundMe. It's only been about a little over a month and some change that I've been out of the hospital. I went into shock, was in a coma. Had sepsis, had a subsequent heart attack because of a blood clot that went to my heart. My health is not very good right now. I'm feeling a little better than I did a month ago, obviously, since I got out of the hospital, but I'm still in pretty bad shape. Still can't work. Obviously, it hasn't been that long. If you know anything about septic shock, it's pretty bad. If you have a heart attack on top of that, it's real bad. So if you like the content I produce and you'd like me to keep creating it, please consider making a donation, small or otherwise, to my GoFundMe. You'll find a link in the description, only if you can afford it, of course, in addition to the amount that I'm asking for on GoFundMe. I've also got a ton of medical bills. So any help is greatly appreciated. And on that note, I'm out of here. I am the Realist Philosopher, and I wish you all a good and pleasant day. Take care.